Hey guys, welcome back to the Intimacy Podcast for the Million Dollar Man. I'm your host, Rhonda Farr, certified life coach with an emphasis on emotional processing, healing, and relationships. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about one of the most helpful and one of the most difficult parts of differentiating and self-confronting in a marriage. If you don't know what those terms mean, differentiation or self-confrontation, don't worry, I'm about to give you a crash course in that. And of course, as usual, I will get a little bit personal and share some recent moments that felt super hard for me as I put these skills into action. Have I said before that I still do this work right alongside you? You're going to get tired of me saying that, but it's so true. So many of my clients come to me and they're like, I heard you say this on the podcast. I can't believe you're still working on that. Yes, it probably is something I will work on till the day I die. And today, some of my stories that I'll share with you will illustrate why that is. This is not a one and done process. So here's your quick tutorial. Differentiation is the ability to create intimate and emotional connections with others, while on some level you remain independent from them. You maintain that solid sense of self. Differentiation is your ability to balance your desire for attachment with another human. It's your desire to connect with others, especially in marriage with your intimate partner, and that simultaneous desire for your own autonomy and self. So it's that tightrope walk that we've talked about before. All the humans are doing it, not just you, not just me. We're all simultaneously craving connection with the other person, and we're also craving a sense of autonomy, a sense of agency. And these seem like polar opposite ideas, so you can see why it gets a little bit tricky sometimes. One of the tools that we can use to help us hold on to ourselves and connect with our partner is this idea of self-confrontation. This one is exactly like it sounds. When we feel emotions arise, we ask ourselves, "What is happening for me? What am I experiencing? Why am I experiencing it? Where is this coming from?" We start getting really, really curious about our own felt experience. Now, most of us, myself included, have the tendency when we feel a stress response coming on or one of our core wounds is triggered or we're not very happy about something, we have this tendency to ask our partner why the heck they are feeling the way they're feeling. Why the heck they are behaving the way they are behaving? Who gives them the right? Why don't they just stop what they're doing because it's not making me feel good and change to what I choose? Now listen, if you do that, that's human nature. I also do that. Let me share a personal example of how we can use differentiation and self-confrontation to actually balance the craving for connection and autonomy in real life situations, and then I'll explain just a little bit more about why this works. So I want to talk about my life many, many years ago, way before I knew any of this work. I was so emotionally unaware. So my husband and I were with some people that he had been conditioned. It was some of his core conditioning and a place where he found his value with some of the people we're with to people please them. And I don't know if he would use the word people please, but we've talked about this before. If you have listened to the podcast, you know that my husband found his sense of emotional safety by going with the flow, going along with the crowd, not really speaking up and having as strong of opinions. Whereas I felt like I really needed to speak out, right? Like, hey, hear me, look at me. I was the youngest of all brothers and some other things. So one of my core things is like, no, see me, notice me, right? I'm important. And one of his socialized patterns was in certain situations to go with the flow and just people please or do what was asked. So we're in this situation with some people that I think maybe I felt a little bit unseen by, and he felt that he really needed to keep the peace with. And I had a bunch of little kids, maybe three. I probably had three little kids at the time. We were traveling. We were in a place that I wasn't really used to. So, you know, we hadn't slept well. We're exhausted, little tiny kids, how that goes when you travel. And some of the people around him were saying, hey, come do this. Hey, help us with that. We need, we want, right? Like, and these people were people that he cares about and they care about him. And when they were asking of his time and attention at every turn, right, my core sense of self gets a little shaky, right? I'm like, no, me and your kids, like, see me, I'm here. And I felt like that wasn't happening. And then he got super anxious because he couldn't keep the peace both with me and these people, right? So I want you to really think about this. I'm going into this stress response. There were a few specific circumstances. I can't remember what was being asked of him, but there were a few, more than one. And so I'm going into a little bit of a stress response because I'm like, wait, he's not seeing me. He's kind of abandoning me to these other things. And then he's going into a stress response like, I'm used to keeping the peace with these people, but now it's going to disrupt the peace with my wife, right? And he's going into this stress response. And this is before I knew about self-confronting or differentiating at all. So at that time, my knee-jerk reaction is to go in and say, hey, listen, you're not doing this right and you're not making me feel good. And you know, you're doing this wrong and you need to do this and you need to tell them that and you need to, right? Maybe it's true, right? If somebody had been standing there in that situation, even like a clinical psychologist, they might say, no, your loyalty is to your family. You need to figure that out, whatever. Even if that were true, the way we were seeing it was not helping, right? So what self-confrontation and differentiation does is it allows us to look at ourselves. Even if we are warranted in the partner making a change in behavior, it is very, very helpful to look at ourselves first. So if I were to have gone back to that part of myself and said, hey, Rhonda, this is how you could see it differently. This is what you do. Here's what I would tell myself. Ask yourself, what part of you feels unseen and not validated right now? Where is this coming from? What does it feel like when you feel unvalidated or when you feel like you're being abandoned? What do you need to give yourself in these moments? When this happens again in the future, because it will, because this is your core wound here, what does that feel like in your body? How are you going to recognize that? So what I want to do is start to understand my part of this. I'm self-confronting. I'm really digging into why this is here, even before the marriage, right? Before he did any of these things, that wound was already there. It's just being pressed upon by the current situation. That doesn't mean I'm letting him off the hook. A lot of you are really worried about this. If you differentiate and self-confront, that means you're letting her off the hook. That's not what we're talking about. We're just getting clear for us. Now, the next thing we get to do is we get to have a conversation with our partner when we can calm ourselves down, when we can see our stress response, when we can see our core wounds, and the conversation gets to be different, right? It gets to be like, hey, when these things are being asked of you, I'm feeling like this. Now, again, we're not doing that to change their behavior per se. We're doing that to be knowable. Our conversations get to be different. So do you see how when I self-confront, I get to hold on to my sense of self. I get to offer myself what I'm needing. And then from a more regulated space, a more regulated nervous system, I get to make a request if I want to, right? I could even say, hey, this is what's going on for me. This is what I'm noticing. And I probably, a more mature part of me would say, hey, can you tell me what you feel like? What's going on for you? And if both partners, and I know both partners are not always going to be on board. I promise you, if you're only one who's doing this work, it will still make a difference. But if both partners are on board with this, you can even say to them, what part of you is being activated right now? What do you feel threatened by? What does it feel like when you get in this stress response, right? When we can self-confront, then we get to own our own emotions and we get to have a conversation with our partner that looks more like, hey, this is what came up for me. This part of me was being activated. This is how I'm seeing this. This is what I need to feel supported in this situation. And when I say what I need to feel supported, I don't even mean he has to do it, right? Like maybe what I need to feel supported is a break or a nap, something that I can do for myself. Recently, a situation came up that made me feel very, very similar. So it involved other people, again, people that he feels like he has to sometimes keep the peace with. And it really activated. This is very, very recently, you guys. It really activated me. And this time, instead of handling like I did before, I actually went in my bathroom. I'm noticing a lot of my processing comes in the bathroom. I think that's because I can go in and lock the door and have an excuse for nobody to bother me. But I literally went in my bathroom, locked the door. I even took a blanket with me. And I just was able to sit there and ask myself, hey, what's coming up? What is being pressured inside of you? This is not his problem, but his behaviors might be pushing on or pressuring a core wound of mine. And I was able to ask myself that. And the more you do this, the better you're going to get at it. It will feel terrible at first to not take your frustrations out on the other person. Remember, I've talked about this before. When you're in a stress response, your body goes into fight, flight, fawn, right? Fawn is people pleasing or freezing up. So you're like, just go away. Let the danger go away and pass me by. When you're in a stress response, you're literally in a protective mode that suggests me against you, you against me. So it makes sense when you're both in that stress response that you're going to come at each other. It makes sense that instead of coming at the other person, and you're self-confronting, it will feel very uncomfortable. It will feel very unnatural. So recently this happened. I'm in my bathroom. I'm feeling so uncomfortable. This is like the hardest skill for me. And for most of you, I'm imagining it will be as well. And I was finally able to just process, let my body relax, ask myself where this is, you know, coming from. Where do I feel it in my body right now? Do a little bit of stretching, moving, whatever I need to do to let as much of that emotion move inside of me and also appreciate those parts of me that are trying to be protective. Here's something that a lot of us bypass. It's like, no, we just want these emotions to go away. Even when we're self-confronting, we make this mistake sometimes. We're like, okay, this is about me, not about them. How do I get rid of this? How do I push all this under the rug so I can go show up in the way I want to? I recently heard somebody say healing is not becoming the best version of yourself. It's actually letting the worst versions of yourself be loved. And I will tell you, this is something I do in my coaching practice all the time and for myself. When we can let those really difficult emotions that seem immature, they might even seem mean or like they're just over the top. When we can let those parts of us be loved and appreciate why they're there in the first place, usually they calm right down and we have a different felt experience. So I'm going to repeat that one more time just so you can be clear. Healing is not becoming the best version of yourself. Rather, it's letting the worst versions of yourself be loved. And I think differentiation and self-confronting, that's what it's all about. We're coming back to a resonant place, a more aligned place with all the parts of us. You guys, this is so difficult, like I just mentioned, but it is also so rewarding. So I'm going to talk about the rewarding part a little bit right here. I was able to, you know, love some of those parts of me and say, I see you. I see why you're triggered. I see where you've been very protective for me at times in my life. To come out with this anger and this frustration and this demanding to be chosen. I see why you're there. You really served me when I was smaller and my voice wasn't as developed. Thank you for that. Thank you for trying to protect me now. And I actually want to try it a different way today. So I was able to do all that. And I just went to my husband and I said, hey, when that happened, when we had that interaction earlier, this is what it felt like inside of me. And it's not your fault, but the thing that happened, it really pressed on that sore spot inside of me. And I'm just curious, could you tell me what was going on in your mind? And he was able to share a little bit. Like when I'm coming at him and angry, my husband, you know, we've talked about this before, he freezes. Stress hormones flood his body. He feels like I am the angry emotional tiger that is about to chew him up and he freezes. But when I was able to talk to him this way, he actually was able to stay present in the conversation and he was able to respond. And I just said to him, you know, what's going on? Can you explain to me like your vantage point? Can you explain to me what it felt like for you? And, you know, it wasn't perfect. This is my thing, not his. But he was able to give me his version of it, and we were able to make that repair so much more quickly, with so much more understanding, and we got to know each other. So I really want you to see this. Here's the part that I talked about before, how we balance that tightrope of craving that connection with somebody else, but also maintaining that sense of agency and autonomy. When I was able to separate my emotions from his and my stored pain from his, I am differentiating. I am giving myself some autonomy. What do I need here? When I calm myself down, what can I offer myself? What requests or what questions do I want to ask of him? That is where my agency and autonomy lie, okay? But the cool thing about this is when I open up and talk to him in that way, it is actually very, very connecting. Can you see it? Because now I'm known and knowable when I'm able to share and ask. These things seem like polar opposites, but I promise you, they go hand in hand. And the result of this long-term, of course, that day, it was great because we didn't have to like ignore each other or have that thick tension that you can cut with a knife every time we walked past each other. We didn't have to like stonewall or do some of those things that happen in relationships sometimes. We were able to make that repair and also feel that connection, as uncomfortable as it was. And then what happened was we had some other circumstances coming up where we were going to be around some similar situations. And I just was able to say to him before we even got to that point, like, hey, I'm a little worried about this and this is why. Like, I'm not asking you to do anything differently. I just wanted to share with you, this is how I'm feeling. And he was able to say, you know, I see that and it makes sense why. And I see what, you know, these things are connected to. And he was able to share some of his thoughts and ideas. And we kind of had a plan going into some of the other things we were going to be navigating. And it was beautiful. It felt so connecting. And then to go into the situation that we had planned to navigate together was so connecting as well. There were moments that it was a little bit uncomfortable, but we just differentiate and self-confront and then share a more honest version of ourselves, right? And then we rinse and repeat. This is intimacy. This is belonging to yourself, finding your agency, finding that solid footing with you, and then offering that to another person and connecting with another person. This is how we balance that tightrope walk of belonging to ourselves and connecting with another. All right, if you need help actually figuring out what differentiation and self-confronting looks like in real time, please reach out to me. This is not easy. A lot of people say, well, just start acting as if and it will come. Maybe if that works for you, just start going through the motions and maybe your mind and body will get on board. Go for it. Try that. But if you've been trying that and you feel stuck and you get so activated in your nervous system and you don't know how to do this, come get on my calendar. I will help you in real time navigate the stress responses and the self-confrontation that helps us navigate through those in your particular circumstances. All right, guys, I will talk to you next time.